Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the public hearings scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proceedings are also broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. There is a 30-second delay between what occurs live in this room and what is broadcast on the internet. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. For those of us here in this room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we do ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in this room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves so they can speak first. We will start with folks present in this room, and then we will ask to hear from people participating remotely through the call-in number. Again, because there is a 30-second delay, we will pause the hearing to allow the internet broadcast to catch up for people watching online and wanting to participate by phone. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence for anyone speaking on the phone. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into account by Sussex County in its deliberations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we thank you. Our first public hearing is subdivision 2021-22, The Woods at Burton's Pond Extended.
This is a major subdivision to divide 15.009 acres plus or minus into 19 single family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the south side of Conley's Chapel Road, which is Sussex County Route 280B, the approximately 0.4 mile east of Beaver Dam Road, which is Sussex County Route 285, and is accessed from Artesian Avenue within the Woods at Burton's Pond subdivision. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 11, Parcel 72.04. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's subdivision plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet. We have a copy of a request to waive the landscape buffer from the applicant. We have a copy of the staff memo and the staff analysis. We have a copy of the technical advisory comments. We have received a letter from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response within the exhibit book. We also have a copy of the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of June 11, 2009. And we have a copy of the applicant's habitat evaluation report. I would note that we've received 5 written responses which have been circulated to the Commission, and at least 2 of those, Mr. Chairman, appear to be duplicates. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Ms. Pete.
Good evening, Commissioners, Director Whitehouse, Council Robertson, Mr. Phillips, and members of the public. My name is Mackenzie Pete, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Baird Mandalas Brockstead. I'm here this evening on behalf of the applicant, Spring Cap 2 LLC, with Ring Lardner, principal and professional engineer of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel Inc., and Justin Hensley, a representative of the developer. The applicant has submitted an extensive booklet that has been before you for at least 10 days. Proposed conditions of approval have also just been submitted into the record for your review. I will provide a brief overview of the project. The project's compliance with the AR1 cluster development requirements of Municipal Code Section 115-25E and F and Municipal Code Sections 99-C requirements, and the plan's consistency and conformity with the Comprehensive Development Plan. At the conclusion of my presentation, I'll turn the presentation over to Mr. Lardner, and then we can end with questions that you may have. The project is located on the south side of Conley's Chapel Road, approximately 0.4 mile east of Beaver Dam Road in Lewis, Delaware, further identified as tax map parcel number 234-11-72.04, adjacent to the existing woods at Burton Pond subdivision and near a number of other subdivisions, including Beaver Dam Acres, Holly Oak, Spring Breeze, Ridgefield Acres, Lockwood, Headwater Cove, and Acadia, as shown in Exhibit F and also presently on the screen. The applicant proposes woods at Burton Pond extended to divide 15.01 acres of vacant land into 19 single-family lots as a cluster subdivision in AR1 with an actual density of 1.27 units per acre. The subdivision is being considered as its own subdivision adjacent to existing woods at Burton Pond subdivision denominated 200-29, recorded of record on June 26, 2016, in Plat Book 232, page 86. Mr. Lardner will discuss the history of the project as he was the original engineer involved with the original subdivision, as well as this specific application as well. The parcel is in AR1, as I stated, and all proposed structures will comply with the height, area, and bulk requirements of the code. The project complies with the purpose of the Municipal Code Section 115-19 by proposing a low-density single-family residential development that protects water resources, watersheds, and scenic views. The project is located within Investment Level 4, according to the State Strategies for State Policies and Spending Map. Chapter 4 of the County Code explains that the State Strategies for State Policies and Spending Map classifies land areas as investment levels 1, 2, 3, or 4, and that the investment levels clarify the state's policies and priorities for expenditure of state funds on infrastructure. As the plan states, the state strategies for state policies and spending map are not parcel-based and are not a land use plan, and is required that any land development activity comply with the comprehensive plan as well as the zoning code, which this project does. To that point, the project is consistent with the comprehensive plan and future land use map. Section 4.4.2 of the comp plan discusses the structure of the future land use map, explaining that the county is divided into growth areas and rural areas, and this project is specifically located in a low density area, a rural area of the code. And as of 2018, all the lands designated in the comp plan as AR1 are in low density, including this parcel permitting single-family detached dwellings with a permitted density of 2 units per acre on lots where a cluster style like this is proposed. The project complies with Chapter 115-25E of the AR1 District Design Requirements for cluster development for the following reasons. The project specifically complies with the Community Design Section for reasons stated submitted into the record. Only single-family detached homes are proposed within the cluster subdivision in compliance with the requirement that all housing types in the low-density area be limited to single-family detached homes. A 50-foot forested buffer is provided to adjacent property in excess of the code requirement. As part of this application, the applicant, though, is seeking a waiver for the buffer requirement between the existing original subdivision and the residual lands to promote a seamless transition between the existing community and then these proposed 19 lots. Otherwise, though, the 50-foot buffer will obviously wrap around the perimeter of this project. Proposed homes in Woods at Burton Pond are more than 50 feet from the perimeter of the site, and as I just stated, a 50-foot forested buffer will be provided. No lots have access to state-maintained roads. No proposed lots are located within wetlands, and the proposed community will be served by central water and wastewater systems with Tidewater Utilities providing for water and Artesian providing for wastewater services. In terms of Chapter 115-25F requirements, the project also complies. The applicant submitted a sketch plan for a cluster development on June 24, 2021. The open space does meet the official definition of acceptable open space per the code, providing 9.72 acres in excess of the required 4.5 acres. It's true that this subdivision will be located next to the Angola landfill. Number three, Mr. Lardner will discuss this in more detail, but the general notes of the original subdivision's record plan noted that the property identified in that record plan as residual lands that are the subject of this application are located within what's referred to as the Sussex County Landfill Number 3 Groundwater Management Zone area. And because of this, the applicant has proffered in its conditions of approval to prohibit any activity, including basement construction, groundwater extraction, in all forms, and all forms of subsurface depressurization, which could affect any hydrogeological groundwater flow or lower the water table for adjacent properties. And that is consistent with the general notes of the original subdivision's record plan. And the applicant has also proffered, as you will see in the proposed conditions, that no irrigation wells will be permitted as well. The proposed lots are configured outside of all wetlands, and the project proposes 50 feet landscape buffers from the 3.98 acres of wetlands that are located on this parcel. Stormwater will be handled on site and will meet the current state of Delaware regulations. Tree removal will be limited what is necessary to construct the project. The project does preserve scenic views, limiting back-to-back lots and providing gaps between lots. The land plan preserved natural facilities, including wetlands, and proposes sidewalks on both sides of the street. And finally, to address the 99-9C requirements, the proposed development does comply with the 99-C requirements. The subdivision is an extension of the existing subdivision, although being treated as a new subdivision, and the plan integrates the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape, as well as connectivity with the existing original subdivision. As I stated, there are minimal use of wetlands and appropriate buffers provided, and no lots will be proposed on any wetlands. There are no known sites that require historic preservation on site, as detailed in Exhibit G, titled Assessment of Cultural Resource Potential, that was prepared by Mr. Otter. The plan preserves, as I stated, large tracts of open space totaling 64%, more than two times the required amount of open space, subject to final engineering approval. There will be a minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil removal, and grade changes. Screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways will be provided by the 50-foot landscape buffer. As I stated, water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, and and Artesian will provide for wastewater services. All runoff will be captured using best management practices and best available technologies, and all stormwater treatment and discharge facilities will be installed in accordance with the State of Delaware and Sussex County Conservation District standards. The project does propose a 48-hour wet extended detention pond, as shown on the site plan as well. The plan accounts for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and two adjacent ways. The entrance to the community was designed at the time of original construction of the subdivision pursuant to DLDOT standards, and Mr. Lardner will discuss the specific improvements that took place. It is anticipated that the proposed subdivision will cause current property values to remain the same, if not increase, in surrounding areas. The proposed subdivision will have a limited effect on adjacent properties because of the 50 feet landscape buffer and the cluster design. The community is not expected to have an adverse effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities because the proposed single family homes will likely attract retirees and second home residents. The particular site is located in the Cape and Lipton School District that has obviously been responding to the growth in our area. The original subdivision completed all required roadway, area roadway, and public transportation improvements. The project is compatible with other land uses, as stated, because of other subdivisions that are very similar surrounding the site, and is therefore consistent in design, density, home style, and land use. And finally, as previously mentioned, there will be the 50 feet buffer from all wetlands. There will be an efficient stormwater management facility that acts as an amenity, and runoff will be treated for water quality and quantity prior to discharge. And for all these reasons, the proposed cluster development is superior in design to a standard subdivision, as the project proposes significant amount of open space, landscape, and wetland buffers to protect and avoid development in environmentally sensitive areas on site, and a stormwater management system that will act as an amenity and natural companion to features on site. And I will turn my presentation over to Mr. Lardner at this point.
She's thorough.
That's right. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Ring Lardner, principal professional engineer with Davis Bonner Fidel, 1 Park Avenue, Milford, Delaware, 19963. For the benefit of the commission and the staff, since this project was first preliminary approved, the original subdivision, 2009, I believe only Mr. Wheatley and Mr. Robertson would know the true history of this project. So I thought I'd kind of walk back a little bit so we kind of know how we got here this evening with this particular area. The original subdivision was preliminary approved for 167, lots. Final approval consists of 165 lots. The residual land in question is this area back here, was known as Parcel B, consisting of 15 acres. And as noted, it's located adjacent to the closed Angola landfill number 3. The residual area went through several negotiating periods with the original county engineer, of which the county was thinking about purchasing this land as a buffer. And after many year and a half of negotiations, it was determined that the county would not buy the land as additional buffer, and that this strip of land would be reserved and could be developed with additional testing. A note was placed on the original record plan that Ms. Pete stated the plat book page number, specifically note number 22, stated that that land could be further subdivided provided it met 4 conditions to allow the subdivision. And paraphrasing those conditions, 2 water monitoring wells and 2 gas monitoring wells were required to be installed and monitored for 3 years. After 3 years, a report could be submitted to the county engineer, and provided we satisfied address that there would be no methane intrusion, groundwater pulling, or the like, that we would then be allowed to subdivide this parcel. Environmental Alliance was hired by the developer to complete this monitoring and hydrogeologic report. It was submitted to the county engineer, and as noted in Appendix I of the booklet, the county engineer concurred with the conclusion of the report, provided some additional information regarding dewatering requirements during construction only, and therefore the developer has satisfied the requirements of Note 22 of the original record plan, and thus our ability tonight to be able to submit this application before you. As Ms. Pete noted, a portion of this site is located within the 100-year floodplain. It is within the Chapel Branch is where the floodplain is located. It does not encroach into the developable portion of the land. It stays within the wetlands, so no lots will be located within the floodplain. Again, wetlands were delineated here by Chapel Branch and an isolated pocket of wetlands to the right. Again, we are not encroaching into those wetlands and providing a 50-foot buffer for those wetlands. And the project is not located within a wellhead protection area, extra recharge area, and thus not thus meets the requirements of Chapter 89 in that we do not impose any development in those restricted areas. As Ms. Pete had mentioned, the developer did improve Conley's Chapel Road across its frontage from about this point in my hand all the way to this vicinity. Those improvements consisted of 2 11-foot travel lanes, along with 2 5-foot shoulders and a shared use path along the frontage of the main portion here. A protected left turn lane, a right turn lane was installed at this intersection that created a 4-legged intersection with the entrance to Beaver Dam Acres. So that was improved. We do not expect any additional approvals required for these 19 lots. The original subdivision plan had provided 2 stubs, and that was in preparation for being able to submit the application tonight. So we will be extending Artesian Avenue to create the additional 19 lots to connect to those 2 stub streets. The extension of Wellspring Avenue will be designed with a pavement width of 24 feet. Sidewalks will be on both sides, and they'll meet or exceed the Sussex County standards and specifications. The expansion will remove require the removal of about 8 acres of land to construct the pond, the road, the lots, thus preserving about 7 acres of woodland within the non-developed portion. The expansion will utilize the active amenities located in the original subdivision. They are located right here, so it's essentially located within the site, and they were, again, designed to account for the expansion of the 19 lots. As Ms. Pete mentioned, the buffer waiver is the common boundary line here at the lot, so that we wouldn't have a landscape buffer between the subdivisions, so it allows a harmonious subdivision. And the last thing I wanted to say that it's somewhat ironic, I found, into that while this subdivision is located within level 4 investment area, the low density area, it is located within Hinlopen Transportation Improvement District, and thus this project is required to pay the fee for the Hinlopen Transportation District, as it does extend past the coastal area into this area. So I wanted to put that on the record that we will be participating in the TID and paying the fees as part of our subdivision plan approval and DOTA approval process. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Ms. P for any closing comments.
I have no additional comments, and that concludes our presentation.
All right, then. Hang on for a second. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Hoey Stevenson.
I only ask that you have something that the people who buy this property sign that says, I know I'm next to a landfill.
We can speak with the developer about that specifically.
That's it.
Thank you.
Well, that could be a requirement.
Yeah.
We could make that.
I would say that should be a requirement.
Yeah, I think that's what you were.
That intended. Was what I was saying. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Mr. Hopkins.
No questions.
Okay.
I have none, sir.
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
No, but me. Thank you,
Council.
Just a clarification. You mentioned that it's its own subdivision, but is it going to be governed by the homeowners association for the and using the amenities for the existing one?
Yes, and I know that I believe we had spoken about this previously. So a lot of the existing subdivision is under declarant control at this point, under the developer's control. So yes, the intention is that the association that presently exists and that has been formed will also govern this community, and that the extension subdivision will also participate, as Mr. Lardner said, in use of the amenities. So.
Okay, mm-hmm. Just want to make sure we're clear on that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, then. We'll see if there's anyone that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2021-22, the Woods at Burton's Pond Extended? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2021-22? Yes, sir. Come on out. Give us your name, please, and you may have the floor.
My name is Frank Gino, ex-HOA president of Holyoke. My wife is the current HOA. Way back in 2007, I sent a letter to Mike Izzo at the time concerning the Woods of Burton Pond and the water flow that currently exists from a blue line stream that goes across Route 23, comes back through the thing, goes through our development, and disappears towards Burton Pond. The concern at that time was the fact that if you're going to build the Woods of Burton Pond, all this blacktop, et cetera, adds more water to the area. We currently have problems with water, and we're concerned that if you're taking more trees down, more water, and I have nothing to control. Yes, they have retention ponds, but there's still a lot of water. You're going to take down more trees, which is blocking the same water. And if you remember, off of Dorman Road, there's an old, dump was placed back there. Doesn't have a lining to it, so therefore the water that we're talking about come past, around, through. One of our neighbors is here, her backyard is flooded many, many times, and it comes through the Holyoke, comes out of Holyoke, and then goes to Burton Pond. The concern is, you're taking down more trees. And really, you know, the back bottom line is, we had the 100-year flood there once already. There were pictures taken and so forth of Dorman Road being flooded. And then we have Arcadia on the other side. So I don't know how many retention ponds they have over here to try and control that water. Where's the water going to go? I don't know. That's a valid concern.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
No, I'm Gail Gino, president of the HOA.
Okay.
Can I show you on the map here where the water comes into our development and around how it floods the back of our development from the Angola landfill?
Well, the only issue with that is the Angola landfill and your development are not the subject of our public hearing. If you can relate that to this application, I think we understand the problem. I'm happy for you to show us if you can, but I think I understand what you're saying. But I need for you to relate your concern about that to this application. How will that?
Okay. Whenever there's a, hopefully I'm saying it correctly, whenever there's a heavy rain,
right,
the water flows down to the Angola. No, I think it's called number 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And it comes under Dorman Road. It comes down under Dorman Road. There is a culvert.
Okay.
It has been put in, but the water comes out of that culvert into Holyoke.
Okay.
There's no place for the water to go but flooding our development, the back of our development. Right. Does that relate?
Well, you've told me what the path of the water is from the landfill to your property, but you haven't connected it to this property yet.
Well, it's part of Burton Pond, the woods at Burton Pond. It's already been in the letter to Mike Gizzo back in 2007 when that woods at Burton Pond was originally proposed.
Right.
We spelled it out in the letter to him about the dangers or what will happen when for the flooding, and which it has come to fruition, that we are now flooded in the back of our development and some of the homes that have been affected by the water.
And you believe that's coming from the existing development?
Yes.
And you believe that this addition to that existing development will make that situation worse? Is
yes.
that what you're telling us?
Yes, I do. We've had Denrek out. I've had Denrek out a number of times who've spoken to us. Unfortunately, we cannot touch the Blue Line stream. That's federal.
Mm-hmm.
Federally regulated. Get my teeth back here. And no, that's, you know, the road water has come through there up over our roads. Yes, and it's flooded the back of the people's homes, their developments. I shouldn't say there. Yes, there's been two homes that have been flooded.
Okay.
And did this happen before the development?
In our development?
Yeah. Did you have flooding before?
No. I've been there 19 years. And since the woods of Burton Pond have been there, there's been a lot of flooding. It was, and I'm being honest when I say this, I have pictures that were sent to Mr. Smick's office and to Mr. Riley's office about the flooding. I have pictures on my cell phone. I mean, I'll gladly show them to you, where the road has been actually underwater. Denrek knows about it. The back of our development has been underwater. We've had a builder who came in, took sump pumps and put it so the water would hopefully flow out. There's a culvert on, one goes under Dorman Road, backs up to our development, the water does. It has nowhere to go except into our development. And through the Blue Line stream, come out into the other side of Dorman Road where there's another culvert. They have tried to replace that culvert a couple of times. We've had our back of our road washed out from the waters, from all the water. Like I said, I have pictures. I'll gladly show them to you.
Who put the pipes in? Denrek?
Pardon me?
The pipes that you're talking about that are dumping back on your property, Denrek
yes.
put those in?
Yes, it was Denrek's trucks that I spoke to, the gentleman that I spoke to. They did say that it was, I'll be honest with you, they came out and said it was improperly done because there's nowhere for the water to go once it goes under Dorman Road except into our development. And that,
and they're not making any suggest or opportunity, taking
they,
any
I
measured
was told
and
about
corrected?
A year ago that the engineers in Dover had to handle this. But that's not helping us any. We need help. I mean, maybe this isn't where we're supposed to bring this, but I'm bringing it here to you. Like I said, I can show you exactly where the water's going into our development under from Dorman Road. If you want me to show you, I can show you the pictures on my cell phone. That's entirely up to you.
I think I understand the problem.
Yeah,
so
it's a problem, and I'm you know, I nothing against developments, but when it affects us and the people's their properties, yes, it's a problem.
Is this the kind of thing she should talk to Soil and Water about?
Yeah, I mean, it's a soil conservation district issue question as well. And when you're done, I am going to ask the engineer to come back up. I'm going to ask him a couple questions about what you have testified to. I just want to make sure I understand that you believe, or perhaps you've been told by someone, did someone from DENREC tell you that the water from this development was flowing onto your property?
They said the water from the woods at Burton Pond, yes. We were told that. Okay. I don't have a name, but
they told you that it was because something was not properly constructed, or
yes, as I said, if I could show you, I could.
Go ahead, point it out.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, yeah, go sure. Go ahead. I mean, I'm just.
Someone show me.
Maybe, yeah, it's the one on the right.
How do you bring it up for Holyoke for me, please? I'd appreciate that.
That one there, yeah.
You can come use this screen if you need to.
Okay, I'm going to use my hands.
That's fine, sure. Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Holyoke. This is Dorman Road, right in here.
Okay.
Here's Dorman Road.
Right.
This is where the water, the culvert is like right on.
Okay.
Passing, right about
okay.
here.
Yeah.
And all of this property back here is flooded. All of this, there's a blue line stream, which is not really designated on this here, that comes through Holyoke, around the back and out here. All of this gets flooded. This whole area back here is flooded.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll try to get some additional feedback on that if you're done. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Lardner, will you, based on the testimony, can you comment as to how what you're proposing affects, doesn't affect, or is my understanding from what she's saying, apparently the blue line stream is the outfall for
a portion of the project. So I'm going to speak about this specific application right
now. Well,
then I'll answer the big general question in a minute.
Yeah, I would prefer that you do it that way because this is the subject of the hearing. So tell us how the stormwater on this section is being handled and where that water is going.
The water on this subdivision here will be captured in a closed drainage system. You can see some catch basins here that are preliminary been put in place. There's a swale back here that will capture this water. There's a swale behind these lots where they'll capture the water. Everything will be conveyed to this stormwater management pond here, where it will be designed to meet the current sediment stormwater regulations. That pond will then discharge into Chapel Branch. Chapel Branch is what then discharges down this way into Burns Pond. It does not go through Holyoke subdivision.
So the water from this application doesn't go where the rest of the water is going for the pond.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
When you say it doesn't, you mean when you're done, when you've completed the
yes,
site
sir.
Work, but it's possible that it currently may be running back there before you moved on site?
No. And the reason why I say that is because the wooded parcel generally does not have runoff, so the runoff for the water would not go through the landfill all the way down through there. Now, I can explain the drainage pattern for this area because I've studied it intently, but that's at the discretion of if the commission wants me to describe that.
Well, I mean, would you have an opinion on what the lady was talking about in regard to where that water might be coming from, or are you or not?
Well, I know. If that's the question the commission wants me to answer, I'm able to answer that question.
Well, yeah, we
sounds like
know.
Mr. Hawkins is asking.
Yeah. Just verifying. That's
yeah, but, hey, but you're the boss.
Oh no, it's fine. I'm happy for you to answer.
You know me. I like to make sure that was the question, and that was a question for me to answer. So
that sounded like the question to me. Yeah.
So the drainage actually begins north of Conley's Chapel Road, and it actually, I'm going to zoom in just a little bit. There's actually a pipe crossing right in here from Conley's Chapel Road. So there's drainage north of Conley's Chapel Road that comes across Conley's Chapel Road, and then there's a ditch that goes through here. We do have two ponds that discharge into that, and I'll come back to explain those two ponds from the original construction. It then does go through this ditch. Done goes, yeah, it was great English ring. Through this ditch and does enter into Holyoke as the lady has described. We did an evaluation of this culvert, this ditch, this crossing, and ports of Holyoke as part of the requirement for our Sussex Conservation District's approval. And we had to demonstrate two items. Item one was the flow rate was the same or less than the pre-developed flow rate, and the water surface elevation at the pipe crossings were the same or less than the original design. So in other words, we did not increase flow or flooding depth or ditch depth of the water in that system. There are two wet ponds, so this portion of the original subdivision and a small portion here do discharge into the ditch. Predominantly, the rest of the subdivision actually discharged into Chapel Branch and then into Burton's Pond. So the lady is correct, that area does flood. It did show evidence of our studies analysis that it had flooded in the before we even did our project, and that was a concern of SCD. And one of the conditions of approval is that we could not exacerbate any of the existing conditions, and we demonstrated that through our calculation approval process.
Okay. So are you saying that what I think a lot of people don't understand, and that might not be the case here, is that there is water runoff before before you do your designs, and we've talked about it that we would like to be able to have some kind of a running history. So that we could say, well, you know, we can tell you that there's been people that have come up, you know, on these different projects, and they had problems, and then we check back with them, you know, 2 or 3 years later when the development's done, are you having any problems? Because I know from riding around that there are times when these problems are corrected by the work that you do. So I'm not trying to sell anybody on anything, but if it's a fact, it'd be nice to be able to kind of keep track of, wow, you know, it actually, the things that the people were worried about were remedied. But is that not going to be the case here? The problems are coming from somewhere else, and they're probably still going to be coming from somewhere else.
And until you're done. Until downstream improvements are done through their subdivision, and the lady's correct, the pipes are undersized, and like until those conditions are improved, the conditions should never have gotten worse, but I'm sure it did and does exist. And until the downstream conditions, the pipe processes are improved, that would increase capacity of flow and thus would reduce the flooding. And that would be done with the lady working through either DENREC and or Soil Conservation District to bring that to attention. I will say the drainage program has gotten a lot of funding with the money that has come around, so they are doing some drainage improvements. So if the lady or the gentleman would call Sussex Conservation District, Jim Elliott would be the point of contact, could maybe get started in trying to get that drainage system improved within their community.
Do you think that's an SCD pipe that she's referring to?
Well, it's a private pipe, so she's correct. It's a blue line stream. There are requirements of how to improve blue line. They can be remedied. It is a little bit of a process, but culvert maintenance replacement is a little easier process to do that type of work, and SCD would be the starting point to start that process.
So you're saying it's an outfall problem. The pipe is just choking off the, so when they get a heavy rain, the water can't get through that pipe fast enough?
It's like a lot of things. Ditches aren't being maintained, the pipes are slightly undersized, it becomes that combination of different things. We see this a lot of times, a lot of these different communities. So again, I'm sure she's absolutely correct about the flooding and all that. But I can tell you, based on all the analysis we ran and everything else, we should not have exacerbated that issue.
So Jim Elliott, Sussex Conservation District.
Yes, ma'am.
302-856-7219.
Or 2105.
Thank you very much.
I don't know the extension number off the top of my head, though.
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah, sounds like, generally speaking, it's most likely one of two things or two of two things. That particular pipe could be, maybe needs to be larger, and or there may need to be some cleaning out down the line. Did you do any topography to try to establish any kind of an opinion if it's simply the pipe?
We did not do that in the Holyoke subdivision.
Well, let's see. I'm gonna bring the discussion back to this project.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
Now, thank you. I appreciate it.
First of all, thank you for the thorough explanation of what's going on the other property. That was not something that you necessarily needed to do or had to do, but you did it because we asked you, and we appreciate it. And I'm sure that the public appreciates it. But once again, in regard to your project, you are of the opinion that your stormwater management provisions are going to contain all of your water in your project and outfall in a completely different place. It's not even going that way.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's going another place. Has soil conservation seen this?
No, sir. That would be yet? Should we. Right. Be granted approval by this body. The next steps would be to finish the design and submit to SUD, and they would review that.
And they will have the final say that. So they'll be the ones who will verify what you're telling us.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. That's wanted to make sure that I understood that. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Would anyone else like to speak in opposition? I'm afraid not, ma'am. It's one trip to a customer, but this gentleman here can. Come on up. Yeah, it's just kind of a rules, you know. One trip to a customer, but here's
Hello.
A new customer.
My name's Michael Needle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm on the HOA board for Holyoke.
Right.
And I just want to be sure that the engineers calculated the impervious surface increases when they did their calculations.
That's part of the calculation, I can tell you.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what they...
Because this Chapel Branch, this gentleman's saying nothing is going to drain into Chapel Branch from this new... subdivision?
No, I don't think that's what he said. What your concern is?
Well, that it's going to increase the flooding. He says all the more drainage is going to go another way.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not going to come through Chapel Branch. It's not going to go under Dorman Road into Holyoke.
Correct.
Right.
Oh,
it's not going to go through your development. It's not going. It's not going to Holyoke.
It's
going the other way.
To the.
It's going to the one. To going to the on the other side.
Down around to Burton's Pond.
Mr. Lardner, would you mind approaching the screen and showing him where that is? No, he's going to show you right now. Well, don't go away. He's going to want to make sure you understand because.
So this is the pond we're putting in.
Right.
We're discharging to Chapel Branch. Chapel Branch has a flow all the way down to Burns Pond. We are not discharging through Holyoke or through Dorman Road. This branch goes straight into Burns
Pond. So it goes past the, okay.
Yeah, past. This is you guys here. We go way down past you. It never goes to your subdivision.
So this, on the old maps, this drainage that comes down under Dorman Road.
That comes through here. And I don't want to get into discussion.
Oh, okay.
This
part of Chapel Branch comes down.
This is the unnamed ditch.
So okay. Not a drop of water from this.
Okay. There you go.
I get it.
Right.
That's great.
And just for the benefit of the public, we get this all quite often. Okay. We understand that there are issues out there and they need to be addressed. And as it's already been pointed out, please contact your soil conservation district. And hopefully they can help you address address that problem. So is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Okay, operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2021-22, the Woods at Burton's Pond Extended?
If there's anyone online in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5 We have Ashley on the line. Ashley, your line is open.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm an employee with Sussex County, just testing the line.
Okay, we hear you loud and clear. Thank you, Ashley. Okay, operator, is there anyone else who would like to speak?
At this time, there is currently no one else on the line.
All right, then. Are there any other questions from the commission? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2021-26, Harper's Glen. And Ms. Hoey Stevenson, I'm going to turn the gavel over to you, since I will be abstaining from this application.
Woohoo!